I'm really rich. I'll show you that in a second.
You know, I get accused of being kind of moderate and center. I plead guilty.
You do not. Congress does not regulate Wall Street. Wall Street regulates Congress.
And you're listening to the Elections Crimes Bulletin with Greg Palast at the Democratic National Convention. Big night, Greg. Your film is about to preview or excerpts from your film. Welcome back. What's happening in Philadelphia?
Well, what's happening in Philadelphia is that it's about 172 degrees and 240% humidity. And nevertheless, people are out there protesting at FDR Park, where I'll be actually previewing, doing a sneak preview of my film, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. As we speak, there's a press conference being held with Arthur Dawson, Susan Sarandon, and Josh Fox, a bunch of other folk are basically announcing the new insurgency, the new resistance, that they are not going to knuckle under. They're not going to go to Hill. And they are not going to support Hillary Clinton. So there are still there's resistance, or what Sarah Silverman calls the ridiculous Bernie or bust people. They're not happy with the way that the system was, what they feel is very much bent here. And of course, we've talked on our show that people are still not happy that the votes have not been counted from the primary. So they want to know, if we haven't yet counted all the votes in California.
Don't know who won.
Why should we vote? Why should we vote in November? Do we count the primary vote?
Well, we could just reuse those.
I'm sorry?
We could just reuse those.
Yeah. So right now, there's very the Democratic Party is waltzing into this, still not really understanding the great power of the vote suppression machinery that's about to kick into place for. Because they think Trump is, there's a lot of the billionaires, et cetera, are not backing Trump. In fact, there are billionaires backing Trump. But the important thing is that you have the Koch brothers already have, they have arranged, they ordered $160 million worth of ads. That's for the down ticket. So, it's not just a presidential race, guys. There's Senate at stake and there's House at stake. Very interesting. And I noticed that Paul the Vulture Singer, billionaire we've talked about a lot. He said he will write in the guy he thinks is most capable of being president. He's going to put a writing candidate. He says he's going to write in himself. I'm not kidding.
There you go.
And the other thing is he's going to put up enough money. He's actually, for example, in the state of Illinois, Mark Kirk is the Republican senator who stands about as much chance as a puppy going across the highway getting reelected in the state of Illinois, especially if he's associated with Donald Trump. So you actually have the oddity of this billionaire giving Mark Kirk funds to run I Hate Donald Trump ad, and not mentioning that he's a Republican running for the U.S. Senate seat. So, and also in New Hampshire, Kelly Ayotte, who did not show up, the Republican senator, also running a very, very tough race. If the Democrats take four seats, then you're going to have presuming that you have a Democratic vice president, you're going to have a shift of the U.S. Senate. This is very, very important. I'm not for or against any particular party, but you have to understand why they still have an interest in stealing the vote. It's not for Donald Trump. They need to steal the vote because they need that Senate, absolutely. Because that'll control the Supreme Court nomination. Remember that you do need the Senate approval for a Supreme Court nominee.
Do you, Greg, let me jump in here. Do you see this as the end of the Bernie Sanders movement? It was always talked about as being much bigger than Bernie. Some people say this is the beginning of the real movement. I know that, again, you're nonpartisan in the coverage of the elections, but your thoughts on this?
Well, actually, but I'm for movement. That is, I'm for movement towards justice. As Martin Luther King says, that history bends towards justice, but it's sure as hell helps if we grab the top of the tree and bend it over. So one of the things is that, as I've said before, Pat Robertson took his 3 million supporters when he ran in 1988, turned them into the Christian Coalition. And Bernie stands to an opportunity to create something I hope to come up with a better name than Unchristian Coalition. But he's got several million supporters who can basically hold the Democratic Party to account, especially if Hillary is elected. That she doesn't just suddenly say, oh, well, gee, the TPP now meets my standard, and gee, the XL pipeline isn't as bad as I thought, and et cetera. So, you know, we've been there, done that. We know what's happened. We know that we had another guy who ran under hope and change, and we hoped for a lot and got very little change. So, but Bernie Sanders could actually rebake the Democratic Party into, well, the Democratic Party with enough continuing support if it goes past the election. Because it's not really about the, you know, there was a lot of energy spent on getting the platform shifted to the left. But does anyone remember what the 2012 platform was, position was on minimum wage? No one. So I think that Sanders, and I'm talking, and being out in FDR Park where the protesters are, showing my film, and having been there yesterday doing a little briefing, there's people who are angry that their votes were counted, angry that they're being ignored, angry that they're being bullied. I mean, at the Democrat convention, you're nothing from the stage here but unite, unite, unite. What they mean is capitulate, capitulate. And that's problematic because there is a very important agenda that Bernie Sanders got rolling. And he can keep it if the organizations stay together past the election. Because the important year will be 2017 and 2018 to see what a President Clinton does, if it's President Clinton.
You're listening to Flashpoints. You're listening to the Election Crimes Bulletin, Flashpoints. We're with Greg Palast, the best democracy money can buy. He is in Philadelphia at the Democratic National Convention. He's going to show his excerpts of his new film, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. And I'm just wondering, you've got Obama coming up now.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot of the sort of formal Bernie resistance has been squashed or maneuvered out of the way. Oh, what happens next there? What does it feel like on the ground, Greg?
Well, that's, you know, there's a difference between what it feels like on the ground and what's in front of the camera. You know, once Hillary is nominated, you saw all those pre-printed signs that are handed out to people to wave. The cameras are literally told, the cameramen for the network are told literally where to point their cameras. They're going to say, oh, these people are going to spontaneously demonstrate for Hillary. You're going to have Bernie people holding up signs that say, you know, stronger together. And there are some who do that. You know, they are scared of Trump. You know, they keep pulling out the ooga booga, you're going to get Donald Trump. And, you know, you can't ignore that argument. But on the ground here, I don't see Bernie people budging at all. They may be grudging, but they're not budging very much. They might grudgingly hand vote Hillary. Some people say they will. But that's very dangerous for Hillary Clinton because it's the party activists we saw all across the country. You know, they may vote for her, but they may stay home and not have the energy. A lot of young people may not feel that this is their election, that they have a stake in the outcome. This will not be easy. I was in Ohio. I don't think this election is going to be a walkaway at all. And it's very interesting. I was at speaking to Congressman Keith Ellison, one of the two Islamic members of Congress. And, you know, I mean, he was a big Bernie supporter. He's scared of Trump, so he knows that, you know, he feels like we have no choice but to support the non-Trump. But I got to tell you, the enthusiasm level is incredibly low. And so I just think that in places like Ohio, which are vital for Hillary to take, that she's going to have a very, very tough time.
And is she going to be struggling with the machines as well as the actual vote in Ohio?
Well, that's the other problem, is that I was talking to Ellison about massive, and with Congressman John Lewis, about the massive racial suppression that's on its way. I mean, there was for example, there's a 250,000 people that were removed from the voter rolls of Ohio by their right-wing fanatic Secretary of State, John Houston. Now, Houston makes Captain Harris seem like Thomas Jefferson. And he has removed over 250,000 voters on the grounds that they were so-called inactive voters, meaning that they missed a one or two federal elections. And therefore, by the way, I want to warn people, That our Secretary of State can remove you if you've missed two federal elections, that is, a presidential and a midterm election. You can't suddenly walk in and vote now. They can actually pull you off the voter rolls. So you have to make sure that you re-register. But they're doing this en masse in Ohio, and the ACLU suit, they didn't understand why so many people are being flushed out, and I'm doing an investigation for it with Rolling Stone and with Flashpoint. And I'm finding out that they're counting people as inactive if someone with a similar name to theirs is registered in another state. Now, you could say that doesn't mean you're inactive. You may have moved to another state, or someone just has your similar name. Like, there's an awful lot of Michael Jackson who've been removed from the voter rolls of Ohio because there's people named Michael Jackson in Georgia and Virginia and Arizona. I kid you not, this is what they're doing. The ACLU has not even figured this out. This is the underground method of removing voters from the voter roll. You have a massive, massive purge going on. I know the left has been very concerned about voting machines, but you got you're going to have about 500,000 black people in Ohio who aren't going to be able to vote on any machine because they're going to walk in and find themselves purged from the voter rolls.
All right. Now, what's the defense? How does one defend against this, or one doesn't?
You can't because when I uncovered that black people were wrongly called felons in Florida, black men, and they didn't commit any crime, they aren't ex-cons, barred from voting, doesn't matter. But they knew that they were being, that there was an F next to their name, so that they knew that they, at least they were being called felons, and they could maybe fight it after. Most of them couldn't fight it, because how do you prove that you didn't commit a crime, that you don't have a record, right? How do you do that? We suddenly, in America, we have no method of proving ourselves innocent, because in America we're automatically innocent unless we have another record. But in this double voting game, they don't tell you that you're a double voter. You're marked inactive, and the poll worker has no idea why you were marked inactive. So it, really the only defense is that you got to keep re-registering, going out to your state site, your county site, and just before the registration dates close, re-register. Even in California, I mean, I was knocked off the voter rolls in California. I have, you know, on a technicality, I was able to kind of figure out why. But, you know, I'm pretty good at this game, but I still got lost my vote, and I cured it by re-registering. So actually, the odd way of getting around this is to keep re-registering. You may have to do it twice. I know it sounds insane, but that's how you can protect yourself. That's about it.
All right. Tell us a little bit about the showing tonight. Where are you going to show it, on a wall or something?
So I have to say that there's. I wish I could give it, give him a shout out by name. I'm going to find out his name later next week. A very kind gentleman decided to mortgage his home to rent Jumbotron to show this film and similar material and press material in the park. So he literally spent, mortgaged his home, put up $200,000, so we've got three giant Jumbotrons in FDR Park. So 8:30, and I'll be on the stage with Arun, the great Arun Gupta, and I hope if I can catch Rosario Dawson, who's in the film, and Shailene Woodley's here too, and she's in the film. But the important thing is that it's basically, we're telling people, here's how they're going to steal it, get ready. And it's just interesting because Keith Ellison was talking about how he's sorry he wasn't old enough to cross the bridge at Selma 50 years ago, having been just down in Selma and having crossed the Edis Bridge that Martin Luther King crossed 50 years ago. I can tell him right now that the people down in Selma are saying, please come down and cross the bridge again, because we are losing our rights. The Voting Rights Act was ripped apart by the Supreme Court in 2013. And I can tell you right now, black folk in Alabama are losing their right to vote left and right. It has just been, we have Jim Crow returning on a mass basis. And because it's computer, it's juiced by computers, it's far more effective. You know, getting rid of black voters with spreadsheets is a lot more efficient than getting rid of them with white sheets. It's been a very, very frightening business down in Alabama and several other states since the Voting Rights Act was basically virtually eliminated by the U.S. Supreme Court.
All right, we're going to leave it right there. You've been listening to another edition of the Election Crimes Bulletin with best-selling author Greg Palast. He's got a film, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, subtitled, this is also about this investigation. He's showing excerpts tonight on the wall in Philadelphia. Stay cool if you can, and we'll speak to you next week, Greg, okay?
You got me.
Bye,
Dennis. That's
peace.
From the DNC, Greg Palast reporting.
I'm really rich. I'll show you that in a second.
You know, I get accused of being kind of moderate and center. I plead guilty.
You do not. Congress does not regulate Wall Street. Wall Street regulates Congress. It's only I just do.